Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to our TDC Connected call for May 2020 as we hopefully get to the end of this whole COVID-19 lockdown, and offices seem to be pretty much open across the country. I noted a couple of exceptions with Michigan and New York, but it looks like Michigan, hopefully, according to the ADA, is supposed to be open tomorrow, the 28th, but we may hear something different from Scott. But in general, the country is open back up. Some people, as you guys know, some of the states opened up their dental offices for just, you know, standard dentistry as of May 1st. So we've got almost a month's worth, darn near a month's worth of a few franchise owners out there who have had open dental offices. I know here in California, my sister's a dental hygienist. She went back to work on May 11th. So as locked down as California kind of is with everything, at least the dentistry was able to go back to kind of, you know, whatever the doctor felt like was essential on May 11th. So we're happy about that. Anyway, so as I mentioned before, this is kind of an open forum. What we really want to get is some feedback from especially the guys and gals who have been able to market to their dentists for at least, you know, a couple of weeks plus, maybe even closer to a month. Like I know Monty and Joff in Georgia, you know, they opened the dentistry doors back on, I believe, Friday, May 1st. I think Joff was telling me most of his offices are the ones that we're going to open. We're going to start opening on Monday, May 4th. And so they'll have they've got some experience in there, you know, they're working with customers and seeing who's open and what kind of protocol they're, you know, that's necessary to market to these doctors, to service your customer base. So I'd like to definitely get some feedback from any and all of you guys who have been out marketing to your customer base and who do have some experience that they can share with the group on what works, maybe something that they might have done PPE-wise that didn't really go as well as they wanted, and maybe some of the precautions that guys are moving forward with these first few weeks. So I guess I can give a quick update here, locally at least, in our local area. We have dentists who have been operating and doing hygiene for a couple of weeks. Some offices are a little bit more protective as far as having the patients wait in the car and kind of text and then come in and get their temperature taken and answer that little quick questionnaire to make sure that nobody is, you know, coming into a dental office sick. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of overreach on the part of the dentists and like, you know, kind of going over the top, you know, with their PPE stuff. But they are being cautious. But that being said, we're in the dentistry field where, you know, eliminating any kind of cross-contamination with patients is why we've even been in existence, guys. Since the early 80s, obviously, it started with the AIDS virus, which is, again, a virus. So dentist offices have been on top of this in our field for, you know, coming up or probably surpassing 30 years. So I really feel like our industry is one that's kind of well-equipped and well-positioned to move forward quicker than maybe some of the others. So what I'm going to do now is ask anybody who wants to kind of talk about their experiences. I'd love to hear from Amani and a Joff who have been out in the field since May 1st. Simply hit *6 on your phone, guys. That'll unmute your phone. And like I said, I'd like to open the floor to anybody who's got some experience out there that they can share with the group. So without further ado, anybody who'd like to comment on what they're experiencing out there, we'd love to hear from you.
This is Joff.
Yeah, Joff.
Monty and I both found that it's only probably 25% of the offices are open now, and a big part of the reason is we have to have somebody in front of the office taking temperatures. They don't let them out of cars, and some of the people don't feel like financially it can make sense to operate with one person in there and all this staff everywhere. The good thing that we found was after the 2 months of being shut down was the Cavicide, you know, that they've been using, they weren't supposed to, on hand pieces, pay dividends for us. We've gotten quite a few small slow speeds, and a lot of people, the first thing they had done is they checked their, you know, equipment to make sure it was working, and we did get some work. My my April, I did 2% of my normal revenue, and I'm going to do probably 70 or 75% of normal revenue this month. So it's been quite, it's picked up quite a bit, but I predict we'll hit another good month or two, and then it may kind of slack off for a little while and then maybe get back to normal is what I hope. So
with only 25% of the offices being open, how do you explain doing 75% of your normal billing?
I believe it has to do with them having stuff that was broken before it got started, and then they realized they needed to deal with it, and they went back to their offices to, you know, try to make sure everything was going. So when they were ready, you know, they had the equipment that was working. I mean, you know, everybody's bad about not, you know, sending things when it breaks. They wait and wait, and I think they were, that was a big reason why we, you know, had a pretty good bit of revenue this month.
What kind of, since you've been out in the field for a month, Joss, what are you doing? How are you approaching your offices? Have you been able to get inside of an office? Are you calling beforehand? What's your procedure for working with your customer base?
Well, they tell me to come right on in, and that none of them have said wear a mask, but I would highly recommend that you wear a mask. And I've only had my temperature taken once out of the 15 I've been in, and I'm not doing sales calls because I don't think they want us there at this point. And the phone calls didn't really get me anywhere. I've sent postcards out, and I've had about five of my regular customers send me things because of the postcards I sent to them. I sent 350 postcards to 9 customers, and I've picked up 1 customer so far. The mail just started running this week with that postcard, so we'll see how it goes. But for the most part, it's just they checked on their office to see what was running, and they found some things, and I guess they were in a financial position to get it.
So you had – I didn't understand that. You said you sent out 300 postcards to 9 customers.
I sent 160 out to my customers that use me regularly. I sent 350 out to non-customers that don't use me right now.
Non-customers. Okay, so 300 to non-customers. Any response on the non-customers?
Well, they just got in the mailbox yesterday and today, and I've got 1 response so far. So I'll give it some more time. Hopefully it'll be better than 1. But
okay, well, in 1 day you already got 1 response. That's probably a record for
maybe,
a non-customer.
Maybe.
That's pretty good. So what I did, and Joff, you probably haven't had time to look at this, but you and Monty last month had sent me copies of the postcards that you guys were sending out. Some people had asked to see them. I obviously did. And I did send those out just maybe 15 minutes ago. So were those the ones that you sent out? Do you know the ones that you sent me last month, or are these new, different postcards that are more?
Yeah, the one is a lube. It's a postcard, but I give it out when I do sales calls. But the postcard I sent out was the one that had the little thing about together we rise, and then 10% off, and help your small local business, and we are open, because I got a lot of phone calls about whether we were open or not. So I thought I'd just kind of put it in a postcard. And the one I just sent out, you don't have a copy of, but I can get it to you.
Okay. One of the ones I sent out was the Together We Rise one. It's such a difficult time for all of us in this country. I hope your family and friends have been well. We are unable to see my father in assisted living facility, so you put a little personal touch onto it. I've been so proud of my wife working on the front line as a nurse, going in daily and taking care of patients. So that is the one that I did send that one out to the group just a few minutes ago.
The ones I sent you are the ones I sent out.
Yeah, okay. And so the ones I got from that Monty that you sent out were, I think, the handpiece, the Choice Pro line.
The big one was to customers, and the small one was to non-customers.
Okay, cool. And have you had any response, Monty?
Well, actually, I did sell 1 doctor's package from it. Other than that, I hadn't heard. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure that some of them I've got. The last 2 weeks have been, I'm not going to do 75% this month, but the last 2 weeks, I will do 75% or close. I think a lot of the doctors in Atlanta, for some reason, I think a lot of them just decided June first instead of starting, I don't know, you know, just to want to start at the first of the month is better. So I've got several aren't open yet. I've got like five handpieces I've had since when this started,
uh-huh.
and I keep calling. So I think a lot more open in June. And I was going to say that one thing I'm seeing is I got a call this morning that a lot of doctors are going into their junk drawers and pulling out stuff.
Okay.
Because I think they're going to be sterilizing more and they don't want to buy new stuff, especially from, you know, the big guys right now. So I'm seeing a lot of that. I got like five RDHs that I'm sure had been in a drawer, you know. And so I do think that's something we're going to see is a lot more hygiene hand pieces.
Well, that's good. I know those Profi Sports are just hard to even keep on the shelf. Those things have been flying out the last year, probably because of, you know, the hygienist actually sterilizing the darn things between each patient. Those have been definitely our number one seller ever as far as a handpiece goes, the Profi Sports, because of that. So, yeah, so that's a good thing, I guess. Like, I think you and I, Monty, I believe it was you and I having this discussion that although, you know, this has been a tough time for everybody, obviously, I think it was you who was telling me that offices are now going to be a lot more diligent with their disinfection and sterilization, and that should lead to more work for us, really. So in the long run, this may, you know, we may make it up, these 2 or 3 months that everybody lost of business. You know, who knows? Maybe it'll be made up, possibly even by the end of this year. So, you know, we could have a resulting benefit from this, as horrible as that even seems or sounds, but that might be the case. Quick question, Monty and Joff, back to your postcard campaign that you sent out. I would say if you got 9 responses from 150, Joff, and then you've already got a response from a non-customer and you just sent them out yesterday or the day before, I could see some success happening there. Do you know what you would spend for the postcard printing and the postage sending it out on 350 postcards? What kind of number are you looking at?
Yeah, it was about $250. I used VistaPrint, so you input your list into Excel, and then they upload it in there, and then you can pay them $5 to help you design your postcard. And on the second one, I had them do that. It turned out a little better looking. And
$5 seems worth it, right?
Yeah, cool. It's a bargain. So they have templates, but the person that does the graphic design's pretty decent, and they turned out pretty well. Monty, I think, got a look at it. So.
Yeah, another thing is, if somebody wants to use that template instead of do it all over, you can call us, and VistaPrint will, if you have the sign-in information, somebody, they'll let you transfer stuff to your account. So one of ours to your account where you don't have to, you can just change your contact information on it. It's all text box and all that can be changed.
Mm-hmm.
So
that seems like a no brainer. I know, you know, like you said, Joff, like you're kind of taking it easy on the marketing to new offices. You're not sure they want you in there right now. So the phones, although they didn't work out for you as well as, you know, they did for maybe a couple others, just having these different tiers, as Steve always says, different tiers of marketing. You know, phone calls is one, postcards is one. Obviously, getting into the offices and doing the in-office visits is the biggest one. But for the next 4 to 6 weeks, I could see the phone and the postcards being maybe a little bit more, you know, a better, maybe stronger marketing approach.
Yeah, I agree
100%. Yeah, I don't, like you said, David, was they're making customers. In general, most of them, every office I have been into when they've called me to come there, there's been nobody in the waiting room. And they are doing the same thing you talked about, calling, texting or whatever, and then they'll text them back to tell them to come in. They don't want, especially new, you know, I might go see some of my customers, ones I know good, but new customers, I just don't think you're doing yourself a favor walking in there and marketing, trying to get a new, you know, somebody you hadn't worked for.
Yep.
Well, hey, David, this is Dale.
Yeah. Oh, Dale, yeah.
Hey, a couple things real quick. One, I'd like that other postcard that Joff, I think his name is Joff, yes?
Yeah. Yep.
Sent out. I appreciate it. I'd like to see all of those. And then, you know, I've done some email marketing and phone calls, and you and I talked about that. I did have a little success with the phone calls the week that I did it. I only did it for a week, and I kicked myself in the butt for not doing it every week. But I did pick up one new customer since then because of the phone calls. I've got, I think, two other ones that said once they get back in business, they're going to contact us when they need us. But same thing with email marketing. I mean, I've had, you know, when I email out to non-customers, I only have about 170 emails in the system that are non-customers, although I have like 800 dentists in my system, you know, that are, you know, we're not servicing them all, of course, but I just don't have all of their emails, right? So when I send out, like I said, I sent out 170 last time, and I think I had a 25% response on that as far as meaning people actually clicked on the email and looked at it, you know, opened the email, because it tells you how many people opened the email.
Right.
They actually opened it up, looked at it, and then it tells you how many people actually clicked on it to go to your website, right?
Right.
You know, so at least I'm getting some exposure that way. I have not been going into offices and marketing either. When I do, of course, I wear a mask when I go. I'm on my way. I'm on my way right now to drop off a handpiece and go to another office and pick up, you know, a handpiece or two. But I agree that, you know, walking into an office right now, marketing right now, is probably not the best way to do it. But here in San Antonio, they're just starting to open up the offices here, so it's been, you know, quite a while. You know, for us, we're still. I mean, I tell my customers when they call, I say, look, you know, in the last 2.5 months, I've probably had 4, maybe 5 phone calls when I'm used to our, you know, our phone ringing almost every day, you know. So it's been pretty crazy. I'm just hoping that they all start, you know, opening up and, you know, getting the hygienist back in there and so forth so we can, you know, get back to work. But that's been my experience so far, but I'd like to explore maybe doing some postcards.
Okay,
so
Dale.
That.
I did email those out. It sounds like you're going to. You said you're going to a pickup and a drop off. Yeah. So that'll be in your inbox when you get home. Those ones. There was 3 sample postcards. So front and back. I think you're going to get 6 images or files in that email, and that's what Joff and Monty have used. So that's already
awesome.
That should be in your inbox right now. And then quick follow up with you on the email. It sounds like if you had 25% click response, I think they call it. That's amazing. Like, we used to do a constant contact email campaign for franchise owners, and this is probably going back, golly, 5, 6 years. And there was a few franchise owners that kind of took to it, 3 or 4, and they gave me access to their campaign because I would help them with it. And, yeah, we would go in and look at that response. It tells you who clicked on it, who visited the site, who put it in their spam folder, who just flat didn't open it. Like, you got all those statistics, and I don't think we ever hit anything like 25%. So that's
good. Let me clarify that. 25% of people actually opened the email, like clicked on it, opened up, looked at it. But the click rate of clicking to go to my website was probably, I think it's been varying between like 10 and 12%. So it just depends, you know, I guess on the email and who I send it out to. Like I will send emails out to my current customers as well and do an email campaign. And which, by the way, I just wanted to mention on Constant Contact, I used to use them, but then I realized on the website that I pay for, you know, on my website, there's an option to do email campaigns on there as well. And so I stopped paying for Constant Contact.
Doggone it. Dale,
you know,
you just broke up on me. Sorry. What did you say? So you used to use Constant Contact, and then what happened?
I'm sorry. Then I realized on my website that I have the option of doing email campaigns through my website as well. So I just got rid of that Constant Contact expense because I'm already paying for the website anyway, right? And I'm using them for the email campaigns now instead of Constant Contact. Although Constant Contact, I'll tell you guys, is phenomenal as far as easy to work with. They have great templates. They have all kinds of great stuff you can use. It's definitely more extensive than my website, provider that I use, but it's for what I do. You know, I think my website's definitely sufficient enough, and it still tracks everything, which is cool. So, I think I have enough. I did some postcards as well. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think the only problem that some people ran into with Constant Contact, I know Scott Marks up in Michigan, he had a customer list that was pretty large, and he sent it to them, and they somehow flag it as spam or something if the file's too big. I can't remember the exact reason why. And so he and I kind of went back and forth trying to get them to accept his darned contact list. And it was to the point where he was going to have to literally, like, manually enter every darn customer name and email, or they wouldn't send it. So Constant Contact, or at least, was a little bit finicky because they didn't want to risk their AA rating or whatever it is in the website world. But if you have a smaller list that you're going to send out, like you send 100 now and 100 later and 100 after that, I think it would go through more easily than what he did, which was download, you know, 1,000 contacts or something, and they're like, whoa. I thought Constant Contact was great if you're going to use it on a smaller basis. For it was worth the, what was it, $15 a month, and you can send unlimited emails, I think, at $15 a month, which was cool. But, you know, guys would send one out like every other week, so maybe two a month they'd shoot out. And, yeah, if you got a response, I mean, it paid for the whole – if you got one new customer, I mean, pay for your whole year of email campaigns, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Dave, this is Ben.
Ben.
I've been using Constant Contact for the past 2 or 3 months. And just to, you know, more or less, just to get my name out there, like, hey, don't forget about me type thing, you know. But the click rate has been terrible. The open rate has been around 20-25%. But, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, the doctors aren't really seeing that. It's mostly their administrative people are opening it up and taking a look and just closing it because they really don't care about it. But, just recently, well, I've got one ready to go on June 1st.
Uh-huh.
And, but, you know, it's been pretty disappointing, really, you know, the Constant Contact. And I've had it before and quit using it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started it back up just so that we could, you know, have some communication with my clients and trying to get some communication anyway. And, you know, kind of disappointed in how it's worked. And, it, you know, for $45 a month, it is expensive.
45. Now, I recall it being 15. Did you buy some sort of a plan that's a little bit more expensive?
No, that's the base. That's the not that I know of. I mean, we've got the basic package, and I've got about 150 on my list as of right now, and those are mostly clients.
Hey, when you go, if I would recommend, when I went to cancel my Constant Contact, they lowered the price on me, you know, to try to keep me. And then literally the lady got it down to, like, she goes, well, how about for $8.50 a month? Because she looked at my account and saw that I was only sending out, you know, two emails, maybe three a month. Most months were only two. And you know, that the same amount of people you're sending out to, you know, 150 to maybe 200 or so, it seemed like. So I would, you know, call them and tell them you want to cancel and see if they'll lower your price.
Tell them you had
another service. I have a website.
Yeah, the last time that I was, before I quit, they did lower my pricing out. I quit it back in September, and they lowered my price down to, I think, about cut it in half, and then I went ahead and kept it for another month or two, and it still wasn't doing me any good, so I just dropped it completely. But I'm going to try the postcard thing. That sounds like something that the doctors would have a little bit better access to, or, you know, it would get to the doctor before, you know, it got ripped up and thrown away by their people, you know. But I think a lot of it's just getting screened out.
Okay, I am looking at their plans right now, Ben, and Constant Contact email plans start at $20 a month. or you can get email plus for $45. I know the guys I was working with, the cheaper plan, which was $15 a month back then, not $20, was plenty for the amount of customers they were emailing to. So Dale may have a good point there. Maybe call them up and they'll look at what you're how many contacts you're actually emailing to, and they might put you on a cheaper plan immediately.
Yeah.
Sounds like a phone call that's worthwhile. But yeah, the postcards definitely. And then Joff, while we've been talking here, Joff just sent me another postcard that he just sent out, so I'm going to forward that to the group as soon as the meeting's over as well. So it's just staying in contact with your customers. It sounds like whether it's the email, the phone call, if you can do a visit, which it doesn't sound like that's really a great option right now. One of the things that I mentioned to you guys in the email to you was, what are the advantages maybe you could have over your competitor? And from what I understand, the Shine and Patterson reps are not going to offices right now. So one advantage you would have is doing something to keep in contact with these people, or even market to new offices through the postcards and the phone, because you're not battling a Shine or a Patterson rep walking in these doors every day right now. And if you have local competitors like a Haze or a Dental Fix, I'm kind of doubting they are either. So that might be a slight advantage you can gain over them. I will say this, though, real quick, Ben, a 20 to 25% open rate that you said you got the last few months, considering the fact that so many offices are closed, that might not be as bad as you think. And 20 to 25%, as I recall, when I was working with three or four guys with the email marketing campaigns back, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, that I don't believe we ever were hitting like 25% open rate. I believe it was definitely lower than that. So
yeah, I've been getting a better response too on the people mailing in hand pieces. So here recently, I've few by mail, and
if you got any outlying customers that you had been dropping off and picking up, maybe get on that, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, it was a couple actually from you. And also, I was going to ask about BRMs if anybody else is having problems, because I just had one that I got yesterday that was dated back over a month ago. It was a BRM that they sent me, and it was evidently got misplaced or lost in the mail, but that happens to me quite often here, and I was wondering if anybody else is having problems with that.
That's his business reply mail, guys, the BRM.
This is Cecil. I had some issues a few months ago. This was prior to the COVID issue, and I just went into my local branch and had a discussion with the supervisor that does their bulk and commercial mailing in that branch. And, you know, he apologized profusely and said he would pay better attention to our stuff, gave me his personal contact information, and just asked me to basically track dates. So if the work order, you know, had this date on it, call the customer and confirm when the customer actually put it in the mail and where. And from that point he could, and then, also note what date I received it, and then from that point he could get in and investigate, try to figure out what was going on.
Yeah, we've been down that road before. We've been into the office a couple times. This is a problem that's been going on since I started my franchise 3.5-4 years ago. So, I mean, it's just ongoing. I've gone as far as to write letters to my congressman to, you know, get the thing straightened out, and it still seems to happen. But anyway, it's kind of frustrating.
Unfortunately, that sounds like a distribution center issue.
Yeah, well, I've been
wherever wherever your local distribution, you know, center warehouse is. It sounds like that's where the issue is to me.
Well, it definitely is. That's the problem. But they don't pay. That you can go in there and talk to your blue in the face to the people down there, and the problem is they just got such a turnover with people that are responsible for that BRMs that you know the protocol gets lost, and you know they just don't follow through, and it just you know, keeps happening over and over again. But it's a human error factor, and they just don't. It's not just not a, doesn't seem to be a priority.
Is it? I have a quick question for you on that, guys. Related, is it an issue where you've had lost packages, or is it just a delay issue?
Yeah, we've never actually lost anything.
Okay.
It just takes a month or 3 weeks, a month or more sometimes to get a package.
Hey, David, yeah, this is Heather. I have actually had lost packages that I have had to replace the handpieces, and they have never turned up.
And that's using the BRM, the Business Reply Mail sticker?
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's happened to me a few times.
Wow.
So I went and talked to the main post office in Montgomery, and, of course, they said the same thing. They would, you know, try to pay closer attention, so let's hope it doesn't happen again. But it has happened to me.
Well, you know, the thing is with me, too, that, I mean, the regular mail, it works fine. From the same dentist, I just told him, I say, look, don't use the BRMs. Just go ahead and send it, and, you know, I'll take it off of your bill.
Uh-huh.
And I get them within a couple days.
just writes it out with a pen.
Yeah, you know, just put your address on the address on there and just send it to me. If you pay for it, I'll take it off your bill. And that works fine. I've got the people, you know, that send them to me. I just go ahead and take it off their bill. But the BRMs are just a mess.
Okay. Well, I still would encourage its use because it's just so much more efficient. If you're having an issue like that, I mean, it's a bummer, but at least you're getting the packages. It's still, gosh, in most cases, it's got to beat doing pickup and delivery because you just can't grow, you know, doing pickup and delivery. You've got to have the mailers to really grow. I think everybody's on board with that, but you got to have a reliable delivery source, right?
Exactly, you know, because you have to have a customer that sends a handpiece to you, and it takes a month to get it in your office. You know, it's you know, you're going to lose your client. It's, you know, that's, or potentially lose them anyway.
Right.
I don't normally have any problems, but like I said, it has happened in the past. But normally, I don't have any problems. 99% of mine is mail. You know, sending the mail.
Yeah, I mean, I've looked at other options, too, to get away from the Postal Service, but, you know, everything else is just too expensive.
Too expensive, yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely the, you know, the cheapest source out there as far as getting things delivered to you. So, but, you know, that's definitely a thing to, I don't know, that's definitely a thing to promote, though, even potentially locally with your customer base right now, if they just, they're trying to eliminate as many people out of the office right now as possible with, you know, the precautions that all these businesses are trying to take, and really getting any of those customers that were hesitant about being on a mailer before, getting them on a mailer now is probably going to be the way to go.
Yeah, I've had several just in my, you know, my local area right here that I always, you know, pick up and deliver that have requested, can I just send them to you? And I'm like, sure, no problem. I've had a lot of those.
Yeah, it makes it easier on you, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that now's definitely a time to convert anybody that was hesitant about converting over to the mailers. I mean, I know you guys just kind of told a couple of horror stories with the mailer, but it just, I think percentage-wise, you know, 99.9% of the time, there's just not an issue.
Yeah, that's true.
So that might be worth converting those folks over, I would think. For sure. Is there any other advantages or feedback you guys are getting from dentists and doctors or customer base on moving forward, or anything anyone wants to add to this discussion? And then we probably have another 10 minutes or so. We can just open the floor for whatever.
But, hey, Dave, this is Cecil. I just want to confirm what you said about the Shine reps. I have a customer that has an employee whose spouse is a Shine rep.
Yes.
And as
yes.
of last Thursday, the Shine reps in our area were not making sales calls. They were working from home and taking phone calls, but they were not physically visiting offices unless the office called and said, hey, come see me.
Yeah, I mean, these big corporations, thank you, Cecil, that's great info. I think these big corporations are being as cautious as possible moving forward with their employees and probably not trying to be liable for anything that may happen to them, or be liable for an infected employee going into 30 offices, right? I mean, they're trying to limit any of that risk, I'm sure. So that's why I didn't think there would be any Shine or Patterson reps.
I've had that discussion with some of our, customers, the office manager or whoever it is I deal with directly about how we're consciously not going out and making sales calls. And they were kind of inquiring why. And I'm like, well, if I travel from 30 to 50 offices in a day in a metro area, I still have to stop for gas. I have to stop for lunch. I have to stop. That's a lot of exposure and potential exposure to other people. So we're just kind of not doing it. We will come in if you call and request an appointment for a pickup or you need to discuss something with us, but we're just not door knocking.
Right. Right. It sounds like Dale's doing the same thing. It sounded like he had a drop off and like two pickups that obviously he had made contact with his customers and they requested that. So I get it. There's still the customer care that you guys need to perform if requested. And I don't think there's anything wrong with going to offices, but like all of you have said, you're just kind of hesitant on it for probably the next several weeks unless it's a current customer, and I get that. So that's why I really wanted to bring Joff and Monty in early on to talk about, their phone and postcard campaigns that they've been employing here for a month or so and see what kind of response they were getting in a state that opened up on May 1st. Where some of the other guys might have opened up later, if not, like with Scott's case in Michigan, tomorrow I think officially is the day.
Well, and I really appreciate that, and I appreciate the postcards and the input, because we were only 8-ish months in since we opened when this happened, so we were still in the building process. We were still in the process of establishing a customer base. So now, and the first 1 to 2 years are critical. So, that really set us back, and we're really concerned about how much headway we're really going to be able to make with phone calls and postcards and all that kind of stuff. So, looks like maybe we have a chance,
I agree. I mean, now's definitely the time to get involved with that when you have some extra time, when you're not doing active marketing, as far as walking into new offices. Do those phones. Dale mentioned that he actually called me up behind the scenes and said, gosh, Dave, I never did the marketing or the phone thing. Steve had always kind of said that there was some value to it. And so he did a week of phone calls and said he got 3 new customers. But he only did it for a week, and now he's kind of back at it, and his sales are picking it up, and he just mentioned earlier in the conversation that he needs to do it again. But it can't hurt, especially once you've been around your area. You've walked into offices, you've sent postcards, maybe even offered a free repair or something. Just use the phone if possible. It's cheap, right?
Hey, David, right. It's Dale.
Yeah, Dale.
Real quick, I lost you guys for a little bit there. I had to walk into that office, and I got disconnected. But
oh, we've been
I
talking about you for like 10 minutes.
Beautiful.
Just kidding.
So I just want to let you guys know, I stopped at another office that was close to one I was going to just because I saw cars in the parking lot, and I said, oh, maybe they're open. Well, I go in there, and they're not technically open. She said, we're not opening full until June 1st. Uh-huh. And I think that might be a lot of us here in San Antonio, because I'm not finding a lot of people that are open 100%, So just thought I'd throw that out there.
Okay, so they're doing June 1st, which is – well, 3 days away. Well, 3 business days away. So that's good to know.
So we'll see.
Has anyone done anything with social media and had any success?
There's not really. Not for the effort that went into it. I mean, we've done the Facebook pages for years on that. And there's a group, I think Monty's involved with a group, but it's like a dental group. and he gets involved with them and kind of goes back and forth with some Q&A, and they have some meetings. So Monty might be a great guy to talk to about it. He's the only one that's involved with a social media dental group that I know of and
okay.
in his local area. But I believe he has received some customers out of it, and he has received some positive results.
Okay. We have a Facebook page, and we just did a – you can do a trial run for like $5 a day just to kind of put your feelers out. And we just initiated a Facebook ad yesterday with a budget of $5 a day for 5 days just to kind of see, is it worthwhile? Is it worth putting any effort or any money into? Of course, we don't know at this point, but I was just curious if anybody else had tried.
You can search. It's a national organization, but they have local chapters. It's called in Atlanta. It's called Dental Peeps, or I think it's Atlanta Dental Peeps Network. And they just have a Facebook page, and there's a lot. I've got just following. There's been a lot of discussion, of course, about COVID, which has been interesting to see how they feel, but. I just had one doctor that one customer asked one night, overnight actually, and said, anybody know a good handpiece repair? And I put something on there, and after I put something, about, I don't know, 7 or 8 of my customers recommended me, and I got, I think, 3 new customers out of that conversation. So, and it's a national, you can go on and search Facebook for probably Dental Peeps Network, and they're all over the country. I don't know how many, but, you know, if your ears would be covered, but. It's worth it. It's free.
Okay.
And I'll send that link out too, following this this meeting, so that you guys have that info in case you're
interested. And
awesome. Write it down.
I've been trying.
I have liked or followed or joined like the local Dental Hygienist Association like Facebook group and done some stuff like that over the past couple of weeks. But you know, I'm just trying. I didn't know if anybody else had. Maybe had some success doing this.
I got to believe those local groups are the way to go, Cecil, because it's not going to do you any good to be on maybe some sort of national group that you're going to get a guy from, you know, Southern California, right? But those local ones, I mean, they might be right down the street. And then you're marketing to, you know, 80 or 100 people, and it's focused.
Yeah, and with the Facebook ads, like marketing, like if you have a Facebook page for your company, with the Facebook ads, you can definitely focus your marketing down to, like I created a list for my focused market, dentists, endodontists, you know, maxillofacial surgeons, you know, interest, careers, job, you know, you can really focus your target audience down. But like I said, I just initiated that yesterday and was curious if anybody else had tried and had any success.
Yeah, it sounds like Monty definitely has. With the thing, it's called Dental Peeps, Facebook group. But like he made his, you know, he's doing it locally there.
And you can also place not per se ads, but you can make a comment. I made a comment a few weeks ago saying we're open, you know, something about supports your small business and. And I had a few comments, really haven't got any business yet, but, well, I don't know that. I might have got some of my customers, but I ain't got any new customer.
Perfect.
Cool. Thank you.
All right, guys. Anyone else? All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for contributing. Obviously, Joff and Monty, with your experience, and Joff just sent me another postcard, like I mentioned. I'm going to send that out to you guys following this call. And then also Dale and Ben and Heather and Cecil, thank you guys so much for your input. I know it was much appreciated by everybody. And all you guys have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Yep. Bye.
Be safe.
You too. Thanks.
Be negative.